Oh, hi. Welcome to the Conversation Campfire. Let me get this corncob pipe out of my mouth. Pull up a rock. Sit yourself down. Here's a stick. Marshmallows are over there by the right-hand side. We're au naturel today, contributing to the CO2 in the atmosphere on this segment of the conversation, because it's time to share some summer camp stories.
Hello, mother. Hello, father. Here I am at Camp Granada. Camp is very entertaining, and they say we'll have some fun if it stops raining.
What are your memories of summer camp, good or bad? Give me a call at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. Maybe you just got home from summer camp. Tell me how it went. It's 800-289-5869. Maybe you worked at a summer camp as a counselor. How was that? Write to us, conversation@kuow.org. We're sitting around the conversation campfire telling camp stories.
Hi, this is Bill Radke from the KUOW Morning Show. Sixth grade, Northern Virginia, summer camp sucked. I was new in town. I didn't know any of these kids. I didn't have the right stuff. I didn't know where I was supposed to be to sign up for activities before they were all full and all the good ones were taken. And I didn't want anybody to know I was lost, so I basically never spoke the entire time. Second to last night at campfire, a lightning strike hits, and we all take off running to wherever the hell the cabins are. I was just following runners. And I trip over a tree root, and I can see my flashlight, the light of my flashlight, bouncing and spinning away from me. And it was like my young life was just spinning away. And suddenly the light of the flashlight shoots upward, and I can see Pat McCluskey's face. Pat McCluskey was the cool kid. He was small, but he played soccer like a demon, and he just was never afraid. And he has picked up my flashlight. It's by his face, and now he's coming toward me. It's shining in my eyes, and he's taking my arm and picking me up. And he says, "Hey, man, you all right?" And I was so pathetic at that moment. I was so low, and he was so Pat McCluskey. He was so high that I had nothing more to hide. And I just cried, and I told him that he had saved my life. And I just let it all out. And I like to think that Pat McCluskey saw my inner light glow, but really I think it was just pity. He hung out with me. Pat McCluskey ate meals with me. He included me in stuff. He kicked the soccer ball with me. I never went to summer camp again, but Pat McCluskey, you saved my life.
KUOW's Bill Radke. We're swapping summer camp stories around the conversation campfire. Did you have a Pat McCluskey at summer camp, someone who saved your life? 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. Or maybe it was a camp counselor who saved your life. It's 800-289-5869. You can write to us, conversation@kuow.org. There's regular camp, then there's theater camp and band camp. Well, Vivian Lyon went to band camp back in the late 1980s and later to a Christian camp. Vivian Lyon, thanks for joining us. Tell us a camp story.
Hi. Nobody saved me in this particular instance. I was 11, and I had never been away from home on my own before. And I was at band camp. I played the clarinet, and I was really excited. So I'd had this fantasy that if I could just get away from all the people who didn't like me in grade school, I could convince this other group of people, maybe at camp, that I was really great. And so, I've always had this problem where I get so wrapped up in things that excite me that I sometimes don't listen to the messages from my body of an urgent nature.
Uh-oh.
So I was on campus. I was in my dorm room, never been in a dorm room before, excited to meet my new roommate. I felt so grown up. And I knew I had to go to the bathroom, but I wasn't really paying attention to that. And by the time I knew that I really had to go to the bathroom, I realized I didn't know where the bathrooms were.
Oh, no.
And I was having that realization.
Panic.
It was too late. I was peeing myself in the dorm room, and that was the moment that my new roommate walked in the door.
Oh, my God.
And her name was Glory, and she was a Mormon, and she was not impressed by me at all. So that was one friendship not made.
Did she turn around and walk out, or what did she do?
No, I muttered some, I have no idea what excuse.
Oh, I spilled some water.
Was, but I tried to save face somehow.
Yeah.
And maybe blamed, like, I think I blamed it on spilling a glass of water, even though there was no glass in sight.
Yeah, so that really didn't fly.
No. And, well, the worst part was that I was wearing, like, these knockoff Keds. They were cloth, and I soaked these shoes. I didn't have any other shoes with me. And I was such a naive kid. I don't think I even knew about laundromats. And
wow.
If I did, I wouldn't have known where to find one or how to use.
Wow, that's a terrible...
So I went through the rest of camp smelling like urine.
Because
I didn't have any other shoes to wear. And so I didn't make any friends at band camp. I stayed away from everybody. I didn't talk to anybody. I was just horribly embarrassed the whole time.
Wow, that's so sad. And I'm glad you can talk about it, because that might be the kind of memory a lot of people
yeah,
just
I'm
repress.
I'm having a lot of compassion for little me right now.
That's really terrific. Hey, Vivian, this marshmallow is pretty well toasted now. You should take this and eat it, because you told us a great story.
Oh, thanks. I do have a punchline.
Yes.
The same thing happened 2 weeks later at Christian camp. The very same thing.
Wow. Vivian, thanks for telling us that horrible yet fascinating story about difficulties at summer camp. You're listening to The Conversation. Yeah, we're around the Conversation campfire today, swapping stories about summer camp, maybe even singing camp songs. We've got Rhoda on the line, and she's calling from Federal Way today. And Rhoda, I understand you can sing your camp song, maybe just the best part of the camp song. Not you don't have to go through too many choruses.
Well, just a couple.
Okay.
A couple of them, yeah. This was the Boys and Girls Club back in London, England, in 1940s. The wife of the founder of the Boys and Girls Club wrote almost 200 camp songs for all these occasions. But anyway, I just picked one here. This is Yes, Sir. This is, the tune is The Colonel Bogey. Yes, sir, this is the camp for me. Yes, sir, at Goring by the sea. Yes, sir, this is the place, sir. It's rather nice, sir. I say, sir, you see. Yes, sir, we'll lunch beneath the tree. Yes, sir, it's better far than Lee. Yes, sir, I'll smack your face, sir, if you disgrace, sir, this place, sir, for me. marching on, far from Cannon Street. Through the rain and wind and the summer heat, I must own we have trouble with our feet, for we really cannot keep the beat. Never mind, fall behind, and this song repeat, single file by the mile when a car you meet.
You're just going and going, Rhoda. Thank you so much for singing that camp song. Goes, here's a marshmallow. I hope you enjoy it. That was terrific. Maybe you remember a camp song like Rhoda does, and you can sing just one little chorus of it for us. 206-543-5869, 800-289-5869. Tell us a camp story. Maybe you worked at a summer camp. Maybe something odd and embarrassing or wonderful happened at a summer camp. 800-289-5869. Write to us, conversation@kuow.org. Here's what happened to KUOW's Jeannie Yandel at summer camp.
When I was 12 years old, my parents sent me to summer camp for the first time. It was a week-long camp up in Wisconsin. The thing we didn't know about the camp is that it was actually run by evangelical Christians. And by the end of the week, I was saved. And I had pamphlets to bring home to my heathen Catholic family to try and save all of them as well. My mom was not happy about this. She was watching a soap opera called One Life to Live around this time, and there was a character named Mitch Lawrence who was pretending to be born again in order to scam rich ladies out of their fortunes. I reminded her of Mitch Lawrence, and she told me as much. This was her way of saying, "Stop trying to save our souls. You're making me uncomfortable." So instead, I went underground, and I started writing letters weekly to one of the camp counselors in order to keep my faith strong. The camp counselor warned me about all kinds of ways Satan was going to try and take my faith. There were all kinds of portals that Satan could get into my life, including Ouija boards. Interestingly, that Christmas, my mom got me a Ouija board for Christmas. It was the only present under the tree that was from Mom instead of from Santa. So at that point, my 12-year-old self had a tough existential decision to make. Either my mother was an agent of Satan, or this camp counselor I'd been writing to maybe didn't know everything about faith and about God and about who was good and who was evil. I chose my mom. My mom was the good person. And she proved me right that next summer, because even though the summer camp I'd gone to turned me into a scary Mitch Lawrence wannabe, she sent me back again because she knew how much I loved it. It may be worth mentioning that the year I went to that evangelical Christian summer camp the second time, I also started listening to heavy metal. I'll leave it up to the listeners to decide whether that means Satan got to me after all.
The experiences of summer camp that has seared themselves into your consciousness. We're sharing summer camp stories today around the Conversation Campfire out here in the woods, taking the show all natural. We're at 206-543-5869. We just ran a long wire out here so we could do the program. 800-289-5869. Or you can write to us, conversation@kuow.org. Well, do you have a Pat McCluskey story, that fellow camper who saved your life, or maybe something more grim? Give me a call, 206-543-5869. We've got Kathy on the line, and she's calling today from Snohomish. Kathy, tell us a summer camp story.
So it was after I graduated from high school, and I was a member of the United States Pony Club, and our region in San Diego had a big camp every summer. And this one was really important because the Summer Olympics were coming up in L.A. in 1984. So we were a bunch of Olympic wannabes. So the older kids, you know, were just really gung-ho. And after a week of instruction, we had a competition similar to what they do at the Olympics with the dressage and jumping and cross-country, and we were told specifically, keep your speeds down, we don't want anybody to get hurt. Well, one young man decided that he was going to go for the world record in speed and took his horse over a jump, and the horse tripped and fell and broke its neck.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. The kid was fine, but all the adults had to go out, you know, to the far end of the course to deal with the dead horse. And I'm back at the camp with a bunch of screaming, hysterical kids, trying to get them all calmed down because, you know, of course, we went through, like, wildfire, our horse was dead, oh, my God, you know. And one of my fellow campers was also 18 years old, and I actually had to slap her across the face. I said, I need your help here. You need to calm down.
Wow. So
yeah,
did it just get canceled at that point? Or you didn't try to power through that, did you, after that happening?
You know, I think they did go on with the competition the next day, believe it or not, because, you know, at the time, back in the 80s, that's what you did in the Olympics. If a horse, you know, died on course, well, everybody else just went on. And, yeah, I mean, you know, we were supposed to be tough enough for the Olympics. And, by the way, nobody from that camp made it to the Olympics.
Wow. And an animal did die in the course of this story.
I think that's the reason why we have all the strong rules that we have today.
Right, and I don't think that would have happened again. I know it wouldn't have happened again also, Kathy, you slapping that kid across the face, that would not happen.
Probably not either. I probably got my butt kicked out of camp, but I needed her help because I had 20 other kids that were just, you know, coming to pieces.
Hey, Kathy, thanks for telling us that story. Wow. We're telling summer camp stories today. I remember two things about Camp Sumner on Anoto Lake in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. One was a glorious sunny afternoon on a dirt dodgeball court. It was me and 10 other campers, and we were getting mercilessly pelted by balls left and right. One hit and you were out. There could be only one survivor. So one by one, my fellow campers got thrown out, and then it was me, and I dodged every ball. I got to say, this was the peak of my lifetime athletic achievement. I could have gone pro after that. And the other story, which is fun to tell around a campfire like today, the scary stories, always told in the cabin after lights out, in the pitch darkness of the woods. The green hand was one of the most memorable, and every scary story ended with some variation on this. And the murderer with the green hand was last seen in the vicinity of Camp Sumner in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. We're around the campfire, swapping summer camp stories. Got one, 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. KUOW's Kathy Ducham has one.
My sister and I were Girl Scouts, and every summer we went to camp. And one summer we went to camp on Catalina Island off the coast of Southern California. It was very exciting because we took a boat there. And when we landed at the camp, the first thing the counselor said, is you have to surrender your candy because there are wild animals that'll get it. I remember looking at my sister and she looked at me. There was no way we were going to surrender our candy because, you know, the camp food isn't always good and you need your candy. So we left the candy in our duffel bags, didn't tell anybody about it, and went to the dining hall the first night for dinner, came back to our tent, opened the tent. Our duffel bags were shredded. Turns out that Catalina Island was an animal preserve. It was owned by Wrigley of the chewing gum fame, and he had goats and buffalo and wild boar, and that's what got into our duffel bag. So did we learn our lesson about the necessity of surrendering the candy? No. The next year, we went back to Catalina Island summer camp with candy in Tupperware containers, and all was good.
Summer camp stories of the conversation, 206-543-5869, 800-289-5869, or you can write to us. It's conversation at KUOW.org. When it comes to camp memories, there's the singing and the stories. KUOW's Sarah Lerner remembered one from the end of camp.
We were leaving each other, and how could we possibly do this? Like say goodbye. That's the horror of it. And so we're all in a circle, probably with our arms around each other, probably swaying, and like tears are streaming down my face, and we're singing I'm Leaving on a Jet Plane. And it's like the most glorious, like heart-wrenching, like sad moment of my entire life. And that was summer camp.
I'm a leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back.
And lots of you remember those camp songs.
I'm Lillian.
And I'm Aurora.
And we went to Hidden Valley Camp in Granite Falls, Washington.
HVC! HVC! Prettiest camp that I've ever seen. People there don't treat you mean in Abilene, my HVC.
Hudson Valley Camp. They'll never forget Hudson Valley Camp. We're talking about summer camp stories. Let's go to Alyssa, who's calling us today from Bellingham on our jury-rigged conversation campfire broadcast studio this afternoon out in the woods with the flames burning. Alyssa, tell us about your camp.
So some names will be changed to protect the innocent. When I was a counselor in Oregon, there was another counselor, and we had terrible crushes on one another. And he had a very masculine camp name. And just in the interest of preserving his ego, we'll just call him Jackhammer, you know, just for giggles. So one day we're coming to camp for a brand new week, and there had been a bear sighting in the camp, which is not totally unusual. And incidentally, that same night, Jackhammer and I had decided that we were going to have a little date on our break, on our night off. And so we went to the staff retreat, and there was talking and flirting and then considerable making out, which went late into the night. And so we're past our curfew getting back from our break, and we're heading back into the darkness without our flashlights. And in the distance, we see this dark shape that seems to be moving. And I, being a wilderness-type person, say, okay, we're going to get real tall and make lots of noise because if that's a bear, that's what's going to scare him away.
That's what you're supposed to do, yeah.
So, yeah, right. And so...
Unless it's a grizzly bear, but proceed.
Yes, right. And so I'm preparing to lift my arms and yell really loud, hey, bear, hey, bear. And Jackhammer proceeds to grab my arm, scream like a tiny baby, pull me down to the ground with him, and then push me out in front of him as fodder for the bear. And so he's...
What's the old saying? If you're confronted by a bear, you don't have to run faster than the bear. You only have to run faster than one other person. And it sounds like he had that in his heart.
Yes, and that was me.
You're alive to tell the story, so apparently you did not get mauled by the bear.
No, we did not, because it turns out that the dark moving shape was actually two other counselors
who
had been sent out to find us. And in that moment, I think Jackhammer lost all of his masculinity and proceeded to stare at the ground with shame and occasionally cry at his own lack of manhood.
Alyssa, brilliant, brilliant story. Here, have this marshmallow. I hope you enjoyed it. I think I cooked it just right for you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your calls. You can continue to share your stories about summer camp at our Facebook page, KUOW's The Conversation. Produced by David Hyde with Arwen Nix. Bernard Ouellette is our engineer. Ellie Ferguson is helping us on production this week. I'm Ross Reynolds.